Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The Microsoft IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started. All right, Scott, another episode.
We made it back again.
We did. We didn't talk about it when we recorded the last one with Waldeck, but I made it back from that Falcon Heavy launch. Down in Cape Canaveral, the rocket didn't blow up. It was exciting because it was successful, but no big booms. So I made it. I wasn't killed by an exploding rocket.
Yeah, I bet spending a day in the sun was just great for your skin. And did you get a nice sunburn or at least raccoon eyes from your sunglasses?
My raccoon eyes weren't as bad. I think I must have had my sunglasses on and off a little bit more than some other people that were there.
Yeah, go listen to that other podcast. Yeah, you hear all about it.
we won't go into it because we only have 30 minutes, but go listen to the Microsoft Cloud Show. They have an episode all about the Falcon Heavy launch. So it was actually Andrew Connell and I that were down there, and he got quite the sunburn.
The pictures on Facebook were golden.
Oh, yes. It was hilarious.
I guess they were kind of red. It was more like Mars. The sun.
So yeah, if you want to hear a recap of that, he and CJ do a great recap of the Falcon Heavy launch, of the experience AC and I had going down there, our 2.5 hour drive down there, our 7 hour drive back. But it was fun. It was a cool experience.
Yeah. No, I was sad to have missed it, but it's always good to watch vicariously through others, right? Like I'll survive.
Yes. Well, and there will be more. There will be what? Maybe another 6 months, maybe when we're down in Orlando. Hopefully we'll get to go to that Live 360 conference again, present there. Maybe we'll get a rocket launch while we're down there. Go see a Falcon Heavy launch in December. We'll see.
Yeah, I could deal with some more sonic booms. You know what else is pretty interesting? What we're going to talk about today.
And what are we going to talk about today that's so interesting?
Oh, man. I mean, this is a real barn burner, right? But today we're going to run through Microsoft 365 and hopefully clear up some of the confusion around what that is, what's going on over there, and what Microsoft has created, right? In this new kind of, not product, not licensing construct, mix of quasi-everything.
So you mean Microsoft came out with something and named it that just confused people again? They never do that.
They might have. You know, before we get into it, so last night Dan Holm was tweeting and he's like, hey, we've got these new site design thing for SharePoint Online sites. And then in parentheses, he has think templates. And I wrote Dan back, I said, gee, it would have been really nice if we could have just called those, you know, site templates. Oh no, that name was already taken by something. Naming things is hard, right? But yeah, let's get into it. Let's talk about Microsoft 365.
All right. And our goal too is definitely to clear up some confusion. I've seen some confusion, and to be fair, there is some confusion here. I feel like even from the Microsoft side of things and how they talk about it. So first, like you said, what is Microsoft 365? So based on Microsoft's description of it, this came right off the website for Microsoft 365 that we'll put in the show notes. It is a complete intelligent solution, including Office 365, Windows 10, and the Enterprise Mobility Plus Security that empowers everyone to be creative and work together securely. So in a nutshell, Microsoft took Windows 10, they took Office 365, and they took that EMS, and they just crammed them all together and called it Microsoft 365. So where it got confusing, at least for me, and I still haven't gotten a clear answer from this, is like at Ignite, for instance, back in September, I think that's when they first announced this, was actually at Ignite, or it was right before Ignite and came out with more details at Ignite. But you never actually heard them mention Office 365 at Ignite. All they talked about was Microsoft 365. And then within that, they would talk about the collaboration portion of Microsoft 365 or the team communication portion of Microsoft 365. So it was like they were trying to almost get rid of Office 365 and call it all Microsoft 365. And it's gotten confusing. They've even seen things on Twitter and LinkedIn and various social media platforms where everybody's like, they're confused. They're like, well, what what is, because Microsoft talks about Microsoft 365 and then refers to SharePoint, Microsoft 365. And people are like, but I thought that was Office 365. And I've even asked people, I'm like, so is Office 365 going away? Is it just going to be Microsoft 365 with various components? And I haven't really seen a straight answer on how they're going to differentiate that, because all they like to talk about now is Microsoft 365.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, right? So first and foremost, we are talking about a licensing construct and really a licensing suite, right? So there's no new products here. There might be new integrations between products that are enabled by licensing, but we're fundamentally talking about licensing. And there are a bunch of different components, like you mentioned. I think Office 365 has a suite of entitlements, right? It tends to be more cloud-based things, very little desktop. Yeah, you have Office on the desktop, but even sometimes I think they'd want that to be in a browser. So really, we're usually talking about like a suite of cloud services or entitlements that come back. Microsoft 365, like you said, is a little more holistic or all-encompassing, right? It includes your Windows licensing. It includes some other cloud entitlements like Enterprise Mobility and Security or that EMS suite. So it crosses a bunch of different areas.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So the first thing, and I, as getting ready for this podcast, I had to go look at some of the Windows 10 licensing because, again, I'm on a Mac. I see some stuff about Windows 10, but to be frank, I don't pay a lot of attention to it. I'm much more in that Office 365 side of things. So I started digging into it because Microsoft 365 actually very closely aligns with Office 365 from their offerings. They have a business offering, an enterprise offering, and an education offering, and bundled different versions of Windows 10 in each of those. So for instance, I'm actually going to go... Well, we'll start with business. Business, they have Windows 10 Pro. It's a version of Windows, and we'll put a link in the show notes to actually a comparison of these Windows 10 editions, and it'll compare the three editions that are included in the various Microsoft 365 platforms.
And those editions are Pro, Enterprise, and Education, right? So we're not talking Home or any of the other kind of side consumer suite stuff.
That's what I thought. And I started looking at it more, and that first link that I actually put in our notes is kind of deceptive. But as I dug into it, it looks like Pro is the business one, and then Education is still an enterprise version of Windows 10. Because they have Enterprise E3, and they have Enterprise E5. And those E3 and E5 are actually bundled in Microsoft 365 E3 and E5, and then Education E3 and E5. So if you go look at the education site, it actually doesn't ever reference Windows 10 Education. It always talks about Windows 10 Enterprise, which, again, I thought was a little confusing.
No confusion. It makes perfect sense.
Okay, good. I thought it was just me.
Are you familiar with the ECS licensing, Enterprise Cloud Suite?
I am not as familiar with the ECS licensing.
All right, cool. So ECS used to give you a Windows entitlement along with some of your Office 365 licensing, right? So think like pretty much kind of the same thing as Microsoft 365, but without the EMS component. So in the past, you might go buy like ECS, which came with your Windows, your kind of like your cloud licensing, maybe your Office 365 rolled in, and then maybe you bought EMS on the side. And now ECS is to the side. You've got Microsoft 365, which then builds on other components and other things, right? So it's all very confusing and weird, and it depends on where you are as a customer, like what phase of your, say you're doing like an enterprise agreement, right? You're on some kind of EA. What phase of life are you in with that? Are you like 2 years into a 3 year? Or did you just sign a new one? Are you coming up on one? Like, what does that all look like? And where it is going to drive a lot of the acronyms that you hear as you go to license these workloads and in general, sort out your life.
I don't know. I'm confused on Windows 10 now. I found another reference where it talks about Windows 10 A3 and A5, which are the education SKUs. We need to get, I think, did we reach out to somebody about doing an interview on the whole education stack of everything?
Nah, we'll figure that part out.
We should find somebody that can talk about education. Education is hard for people like us because, to be honest, in order to get any of this education stuff, you have to be a verified educational institution, organization. I can't do that. I'm not a school. So to get in and play with some of these, it's a lot easier for me to do business and enterprise than to dive into education. So we really should. We should find somebody that specializes just on education and is willing to jump into that and take a look at it and talk to us.
So let's drive it back a little bit. So Microsoft 365 comes in various SKUs, right? So I can do an Enterprise E3 or an Enterprise E5 or a Pro, like you said. And then that drives into specific functionality within Windows SKUs as well, right? So like an Enterprise E3 Microsoft 365 SKU might give me the new dynamic management component where like a Pro wouldn't, right? But maybe everything comes with MDM and like domain join and AD join, those kinds of things.
Exactly.
And really, if you kind of break them all down at a really big level, so what is the only thing I've ever seen in the comparisons on like the Windows side is that the E5s include the Windows Defender ATP, which is kind of that agentless cloud protection that's coming back and doing heuristics for ATP on the client side. Is that right or am I off there?
As far as I know, that's about it. It's very similar, it feels like, to even those Office 365, you get a lot more between E5 and E3. But yeah, Windows, just to keep it in that vein, that's the only difference I've ever seen is that Defender Advanced Threat Protection included in the Enterprise E5 plans. The pricing, I don't know if I have pricing on the differences between those. I can't imagine it's going to be much between E3 and E5. Because of that, there doesn't appear to be a lot of difference there.
All right, cool. And then this gets a little bit weirder too when we think about other programs like cloud solution providers and things like that as well, right? So like CSPs can sell in. So there's like E3s and E5s for CSPs to bring back in, right?
Yeah, and this is another big difference that I saw between your typical standard Office 365 and Microsoft 365 is with Office 365, as we've talked about many times before, you can just go out to office.com, go find the products, click buy, purchase however many seats you want, stand it up. You're good to go. It takes like 5 minutes and you have an Office 365 tenant you can use. Microsoft 365, the only way that I have found to purchase it is to go out and reach directly out to Microsoft, do an EA deal, and license it that way through whatever way you license it with your EAs, or to go through a CSP. So I actually signed up as one of the indirect CSPs, so I could sell these and actually see the pricing for it. But that is the only way I have discovered to purchase this or to even see the pricing. So the pricing of it, again, in my CSP portal where I can see it, it gives me the list price that Microsoft tends to charge for it. And it's not terrible. It's definitely more expensive, primarily because it includes that Windows licensing and the EMS. But if you take all of that into consideration, an E3 jumps up. So we're talking Microsoft E3 here. I'm going to have to preface all of these with Office or Microsoft.
Microsoft 365 E3 as opposed to Microsoft Office 365 E3.
Again, not confusing at all. So Microsoft Office, not Microsoft Office, Office 365 E3s, I believe, I should have looked this up, I think they're $20 a month or $22. It's somewhere in there. It's at $20 to $22 a month for Office 365 E3. A Microsoft 365 E3 jumps up to $34 a month. So for an extra $14 on that E3, you're adding on EMS E3 because to confuse things even more, EMS is also categorized as E3 and E5. So our Microsoft 365 E3 contains EMS E3, Windows 10, Windows 10 Enterprise E3, and Office 365 E3, all for $34 a month. It's not a bad price considering EMS E3 is right around $8 a month. So you take 28, you're at 28, and you're paying, what, maybe an extra $6 a month for that Windows 10 licensing? E5 is something similar. And Microsoft 365 E5 jumps up to right around $61 a month. So right now, Office 365 E5 is 35, EMS E5 is right around 14 or 15. So what, you're at 40, 50 bucks. The interesting thing there is Windows for that ATP then, apparently you're going up to, you're paying an extra $10 for Windows as opposed to an extra $6-ish for Windows.
Just to kind of clarify a little bit, it's not, it's a little bit tough to do like apples to apples because this is also taking your Windows licensing into a per user per month component, right? Like, exactly. Like we're talking about per user per month cost. So you might have devices and things on the side. So depending on the way you did activations in the past and, you know, maybe you did all that internally and you had KMS or you're doing like volume license, things like that. This has the potential to really allow you flexibility per user basis. So you might have gone in the past and said, hey, I'm going to do a volume license and I have 3,000 users. Well, maybe you go into like a downturn and you lose 1,000. Sorry, you already paid for 1,000 licenses, right? But if I'm in one of those models that lets me flex on a per month, or you know, maybe once I buy it, I have to keep it for 12 months, but then I don't have to keep it for all 3 years, those kinds of things, you get quite a bit more wiggle room in there. And it also lets you change your cost model from kind of CapEx to OpEx as you transition over. So for a lot of businesses, that could make sense just from a way we want to show spend and really allocate charges across the business, right?
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember, I ran across this, is if Windows, that also lets you install it, because you're going to the per user, if you can install it on multiple devices. Like, I think, I want to say, nobody please hold me to this. I want to say you could install Windows 10 on like up to 5 devices as part of that Microsoft 365, very similar to how you can do it now with Office 365. I can't remember where I saw it, and I'm not running across it right now, but that also changes it because you get some companies where a user does have a desktop and a laptop. Maybe with the old model, you're licensing per device. Now, since you're licensing per user, they can put it on both of their devices within that Microsoft 365 licensing model. So the other interesting thing that you're at...
Clear as mud.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to have to see if I can find that. We can throw a link to kind of how that all works in the show notes if I can come up with it. Another interesting thing that you were just highlighting was a requirement around the business plan. This one was strange, and I don't fully understand why. And again, this is probably another reason why. Just go by enterprise. Don't mess with business. It's confusing.
Friends don't let friends buy business.
Yes, it's limiting. But if you go look at the Microsoft 365 business plan site and go down and look under, this is actually buried down under the frequently asked questions about this licensing plan. But there is a section in there about the requirements. What customers and partners should know before running Microsoft 365 business in their organization? That's the question. And what it says in there is customers who wish to use Microsoft 365 in their organization must be running Windows 7, 8.1, or 10 Pro on their desktops. Okay, not a big deal. But then it's this part. It says, and do not rely on a domain controller for their organization. Customers who use on-premises Active Directory must switch to cloud identity and management as part of their deployment for Microsoft 365 business.
But specifically Windows 10 Pro, right?
Right. Well,
well, because there's some weird things there, right?
Well, Windows 10 Pro rights are included with the business preview if you're on 7, 8, or 8.1.
I think really if you think about it, at the back end, ultimately, this is to drive consumption into new products and new suites of services, right? So if I can get you off your Windows 7 boxes and over to Windows 10 Pro, which then supports Azure Active Directory domain join, or device join rather, and then I can go ahead and bring your device into a cloud management model as part of Microsoft 365, which now I can upsell you into EMS, which has Intune and device management, and then I can get you additional rights management. So now I can start to kind of spread the butter right across that whole suite of services. So where you might have been locked in the past and said, hey, I'm going to do small business server, right? I'm a SMB, I have less than 25 users, I'm up and running, I just need SharePoint, Exchange, whatever, and it's all kind of baked in. Well, SBS really doesn't run in its current form anymore. Now it's all these like disparate services. So this is a way to get you back into a suite of services that's all aligned together and into that monthly licensing model. Because really, you know, it's not just you as a business might want to be in a CapEx model. Companies like Microsoft or Google or Amazon or anybody else, they want you to be there too, right? They like having recurring revenue from their customers.
The interesting part about that is why you couldn't have an on-premises AD that you're joined to. That's the part that gets me, because Windows 10 Pro, if you look down through the comparison and all the features, it has both Azure Active Directory join and domain join.
It does, but if you think about that device join component and some of the MDM stuff and think about where it works best, now you're really over to that Windows 10 Pro, right? So there are options to do device join with older legacy devices like Windows 7 and 8.1. Notice Windows 8 is not included in there, right? There's some things that really, if you think just from a deployment side, right? Like put on your, hey, I'm a Microsoft partner and I want to do a deployment side, or I'm Microsoft and I want my customers to be up to date. Well, I want to drive you into specific features and functionality that are going to support not only your kind of cloud workloads, but also your desktop, right? And really your client device. So I get way more options for client device management as I get you into that Windows 10 suite of products.
Even that Azure AD. But again, business, it supports up to 300 people. How many organizations of 300 people do you know that aren't quite ready to just throw away their on-prem AD server, but maybe still want to buy business? It seems like a strange requirement to require you to use Azure AD if you're going to use that business Office 3 or the business Microsoft 365.
But they're not saying you have to get rid of your AD. They're just saying you have to switch your management plane, right? So you must switch to cloud identity and management as part of that deployment. It doesn't say you got to get rid of the other one. All I've done is move the identity plane. So I still have options because of that EMS licensing for things like password write back and attribute write back and all sorts of other things. And it might make sense for you in this new cloudy world to go ahead and just say, hey, maybe something like device join or domain join in Azure AD works really awesome for us. So if you run into, like if anybody interacts with like Microsoft field folks today, like say you interact with like Microsoft consulting services, or you know, you have somebody in sales who you're working with who's coming to you and talking to you, ask them if they're domain joined. And on a bunch of cases, they're probably not going to be. They're just going to be device joined. So they're managed devices that are managed by Microsoft, the corporation that owns them, right? But they just kind of come in, they sign in with their credentials, they still get to do multi-factor authentication and have all their synchronization with OneDrive and SharePoint and everything else. And yeah, life's good. But from a device management perspective, even some of the, I think if they can do it in the field, you might find for your small business that it's maybe not a hardline requirement or as hard a requirement as you might have thought it was in the past based on client functionality today.
And I get that. I definitely see where for small businesses, the whole Azure AD and getting rid of on-prem domain controllers makes sense. It helps. It was just kind of a bizarre, again, to me, it was a bizarre requirement to require them to switch to cloud identity and management as part of the deployment. Who knows?
It's not something that you and I are going to solve.
No, probably not. So we have little time left. Those enterprise plans, again, we kind of touched on this a little bit, but those do come in the two suites. They don't have any E1 version. Again, if you're getting an Office 365 E1, you're just licensing cloud services. So they kind of figure, hey, you don't really need Windows 10 or desktop stuff if you're just licensing cloud services, apparently. They just have the Microsoft 365 Enterprise E3 and E5. And those, if you just look down the stack of products, they align. Windows E3, EMS E3, Office 365 E3 are in Microsoft 365 E3. E5, it's again Windows Enterprise E5, EMS E5, and Office 365 E5 all included. So if you want to see the features, just go look at those three products and what they have in those various plans, and you can do that feature comparison there. They do have one other model is kind of in that enterprise version. And they also have a version of this for frontline workers. Or first line, not frontline.
First line.
First line worker.
The F SKU, the old K SKU.
Exactly. And this is, again, that unique SKU for the kiosk workers. I have not dove into this one a whole lot, but it essentially does the same thing as all the other ones. It takes that Office 365 F1 and combines into it some of the EMS stuff. It looks like, based on this, it probably combines in there. It is the EMS E3 because you only get Azure Active Directory P1 and not P2. If you're ever looking for a good differentiator, that's a quick and easy one I've found is look for P1. That one's EMS E3. P2 for Active Directory Premium is the EMS E5. The one thing I don't know about these F SKUs is how that works for the Windows licensing. They don't highlight that much on the site. That was something I might have to dig more into. That's about it from that Microsoft 365 side of things. Again, don't get confused with Microsoft 365 and Office 365 as somehow being the same product or Microsoft 365 replacing Office 365. I don't see that happening. It's just it adds more features. It's Office 365 plus EMS plus Windows licensing, all just bundled into that monthly licensing per user rather than per device. And if you are a small business, you want to license all of those, even enterprises, and you're going to put everybody on those anyways, by combining them all into this one package, you may be able to get a little bit better deal on some of the licensing and how you budget for some of that.
Awesome. I'm more confused than I was when I started, but it all sounds good.
We're going to have to work on our delivery. Our goal is not to leave you more confused. It's supposed to have everything crystal clear by the end of the episode.
I don't think it's your fault. It's more, it's a licensing thing, right? There's a reason that they used to have certifications just for licensing.
You mean licensing is confusing with Microsoft?
Could be.
Huh. What do you know? You learn something new every day.
On that note.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Scott. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.